You know, Burning Down the House is a great song. Love the Talking Heads, Burning Down the House, one of my favorite songs of theirs. Dave Matthews Band has a great cover of that song, probably my favorite. I mean, there's been a bunch of them. That one is probably my favorite. I should have played that in the background as I was watching the closing segment on Dynamite tonight. I would actually love to play the cover of that song, if not the actual song itself, while I do my review here. Would love to. If YouTube would allow me, which they won't, I would love to do it, but unfortunately I cannot do so. The segment that we got at the end of Dynamite tonight was really the story of the entire show. That was the only thing on this show that I took away from this show that made me even more excited than I was coming in to see any of the matches that we have lined up for All Out on Saturday, because we have another pay-per-view coming up. We just got done with All In, now we're All Out. At least this year we had the extra week. Last year we didn't even have that. We got a little bit of extra time, but 2 hours, or 2 hours, 2 weeks between shows, it's just not ideal. There's only so much that you can do. Now, there were some matches that they could have done at Wembley, and they didn't, and they held off on it, so we're getting it this weekend instead. But then there are other matches where they just, and this is my issue, with the build-up to All Out, there are matches on the card that just feel very slapdash. I mean, that's really what it feels like. The TBS title match, the tag team title match that was added tonight, the Young Bucks are going to be defending their titles on Saturday. The Young Bucks are going to end up defending their titles more in the last 2 weeks than they have in the last 4 months. But it all just feels very thrown together. You know what does not feel thrown together? The main event of the show. The real main event for All Out on Saturday. The match that should close the show on Saturday. Which is Hangman Adam Page and Swerve Strickland. And that was the segment that we got to close the show tonight. It was supposed to be a contract signing. We had Tony Schiavone in the ring and we had Swerve was out there. But there was no Hangman. Hangman was conspicuous by his absence. Now, I have to take it back to a segment that AEW posted on their social media accounts earlier today, which was a very nice segment. It showed Swerve Strickland and Prince Nana standing outside what was supposed to be Swerve's childhood home. He got very emotional as he was talking about what it was like to grow up and all the great memories he had in that house. And, oh, here's the tree that I used to climb. And all these great memories, he's showing us photos from the old days, and then, of course, things turned sour, and his family got, you know, foreclosed on, they had to move out of the house. But now that he has signed this brand new AEW contract, which WWE thinks is bad for the sport, he's got all this money now, he's doing real well for himself, and so he took some of that money, and he was able to buy his childhood home. And what a feel-good story this was. Big hug to Prince Nana. They go walking into the house. And I thought to myself, you know, this is a really nice video they posted. And then I realized, you know, we had Dynamite tonight. And I said, I wonder why they're posting this now. And then it became very clear when the show started. I realized that I put two and two together. I said, ah, I see where this is going. I see where this is going. Swerve doesn't. He's the only one who doesn't see where this is going. But it was pretty clear that this was not going to end well. And one thing I will say that AEW did do here, they certainly did find a way to heat up, literally heat up this feud. Because what's left to do with these two men that has not already been done? What is left to say that has not already been said? Think of the bad blood, no pun intended, between these two men. All that they've been through over the past year, going back to that very first match at WrestleDream, the Texas Death Match, all the stuff that Swerve did to Hangman, Hangman's life in shambles. I mean, this man he's lost his mind. He's unhinged. We are almost one full year to the day that they had their first match at WrestleDream, and now it all culminates in a steel cage match on Saturday at All Out, the real main event of that show. And I still don't know that that's going to be the end of their feud. I don't think it will be. It's the next chapter, but I still don't think this is going to be over. Because Hangman may yet get the championship back and Swerve has to chase him, or Swerve gets the belt back and Hangman has to chase him. So this may not be the end, but I love what they did with these two. And I actually thought that they opened strong too. The opening segment with MJF and Daniel Garcia was good as well. Not as good as this, but I thought it was good enough. But that's really it. I mean, we had a strong open, we had a strong close, and I'm not saying there weren't some good matches in the middle of the show. We had a Continental title match with Okada that I thought was good. We had a main event on this show, which was a trios match that I thought was good. But it was just boring. I don't know. There was just the middle of this show, it couldn't keep my attention. I just was bored. Maybe I'm spoiled because we get good and very good matches and even great matches from AEW every week, right? It's where the best wrestle. So we get that on Dynamite. We get that sometimes on Collision. It takes more than that. And whatever it was missing. It was missing from this go-home show. I was not enamored with the majority of Dynamite tonight. And were it not for that last segment, it would have been even worse. People may disagree. They may love the matches. Good for you. I was bored by a large chunk of this show. But the Swerve and Hangman thing was fantastic. Could not have done a better job. Loved it. Can't say the same thing about most everything else on this show. But we're going to go through the entire thing here because we have a pay-per-view coming up on Saturday. And I am going to run down the card. I'm going to give my predictions as well, as far as the pay-per-view is concerned. And then we're going to get out of here because I got an early flight in the morning. I'm getting out of New York. This is your AEW Dynamite review. It is Wednesday, September 4th. Let's take it back here to the very beginning of this program. Excalibur was still welcoming us to the show. When Daniel Garcia was wasting no time, he stormed down to the ring and immediately started speaking. He said he didn't want to wait until All Out to get his hands on MJF, who we heard singing Danny Boy. We couldn't see where he was, but then we see he's up in the crowd. He wasn't in one of the boxes, but he was in a section, one of the upper sections where there were security guards standing behind him, and it was just blocked off so that he could sit there. He was sipping wine. He was enjoying himself. Unlike Garcia, he said he doesn't attack people from behind like a coward. He said Garcia looks like an emaciated skinhead hooked on Ozempic. You could have just said an emaciated, skinhead, and that would have been fine. I don't know. I don't know anybody personally who has the Ozempic look. I keep hearing about this. Is there a look that certain people have when you're on Ozempic after a certain period of time, you lose a certain amount of weight, that you could just look at somebody and know, oh, that guy. All right. I see what's going on with him. He's on Ozempic. Because if so, I don't know. I don't know anybody personally who's on. So. Right over my head. Garcia said everybody knows everything about MJF is a lie. That he points out his fake tan. He points out his makeup to cover up his acne. He mentioned that he took a trip to Turkey for a hair transplant. He says that didn't even work. I will say, you know, when MJF came back, he did have more hair on his head. So, I don't know if he went to Turkey or not, but there may be something to that. Garcia said the fakest thing about MJF is his love for AEW. He said MJF could have as many fake tattoos painted on the back of his leg as he wants. People will never believe him. He said he wants MJF and the people who love him to suffer. And he said that if MJF can ever find a woman to pretend to care about him for more than a year, he wants him to marry her and have a kid, and then MJF will think about him when he feels a tingle from his neck down to his toes and he picks up that ugly-ass baby. Garcia said the kid will ask if daddy was a wrestler, and MJF will have to tell his son that he was a wrestler until Daniel Garcia ended his career. So MJF stood up and he applauded. He said Danny learned how to speak. He said that he was trying to do Garcia a solid when he dumped him on his head. He said the people used to love him. And then some fans started chanting for MJF. And he said, too little, too late. Nice try. It ain't gonna work. All right, well, I'm being told here. Saggy skin. And a gaunt look. Apparently that means that you are on Ozempic. If you look gaunt. Okay. All right. I'm relying on you people to fill me in on this stuff. Has anybody in the chat actually taken Ozempic and can share your experience? Let me know. I see, that's all I see now. All I see are these commercials now, and I have that fucking song in my head. And then the other one, Wegovy. Oh my God. Wegovy. Every fucking day I'm having dinner and I have to hear Wegovy, Wegovy, Ozempic. Everything's got a jingle. Everything's got a song. Everything has a pill. Too bad there's no pill for bad wrestling. That could have been useful over the years. Anyway, he said that he got too big, MJF did, and the fans turned on him like rats. MJF said Garcia should not want their love or championship belts because the more he gains, the more the fans will want to see him fall. He said Garcia's friends and family will all turn on him after All Out, but he said that he'll protect Garcia by putting him in a wheelchair. He said the one person that Garcia can trust is his mother. MJF said that she's a good woman who will take care of him when he's laid up in bed. Lord knows you won't be the first man lying on their back in her bed that she happily attended to. So Garcia took the bait, because of course he did. Stormed out of the ring, over the barricade into the crowd, fighting off the occasional security geek as he was making his way up the stairs. So he finally gets up to MJF's section. And again, he's beating up some more security geeks and knocking them down. When he turns around, though, MJF breaks a wine bottle over his head. Just shatters the thing right over his head. And down goes Daniel Garcia. And then he just casually walks over. He takes another sip of his wine. Walks back over to Garcia, who now is bleeding. Comes up bleeding from the forehead. He's got stars in his eyes. MJF sits down next to him. Puts his arm around the kid. And he said every man must go through hell before he gets to paradise. And he thanked Garcia for awakening something in him. He said that he would send Garcia straight to paradise on Saturday. Said he could thank him later. And then MJF kissed him on his bloody forehead. I don't know what this obsession is with wrestlers. They love to lick blood and they love to kiss blood. Bunch of fucking vampires here. So he had the blood smeared all over his mouth and his face to end the segment. Garcia is trying. Now, he goes out there. He was showing good fire here because that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to go out there. He's supposed to be fired up, wanting to get his hands on MJF. So, look, he ditched the silly dance. We're getting a serious side of Daniel Garcia here. So I like that instead of him coming out and just doing the dance all the time. You can come out and do the dance. That's fine. And you'll be a mid-carder for life. If you want to be a mid-carder for life, go ahead and dance. You want to be Rikishi and Too Cool? Go ahead and dance. But if the idea here is to try to elevate him to a higher level, you need people to take you more seriously, so he's behaving more seriously. This is a blood feud. Yeah, before he came back, the last time we saw him, he was left for dead. It looked like a crime scene in the ring. So he should want to get his hands on him. Whether MJF is going off on his mother or not, he should want to get his hands on MJF. But he got suckered in, and so he was made to look stupid. He fell for it. He fell right into MJF's trap. That's the second time now that MJF has left him a bloody mess. But, you know, Garcia, he's going out there on television every week, and he's making a lot of promises. He's saying that, you know, he's basically going to kill this man. He's going to cripple him, paralyze him. He's going to maim him. He's going to, you know, make it miserable for all the people who love him, his family. He's making a lot of promises as a babyface here. And ideally, you want the babyface to be able to follow through on those promises. But it's hard for me to sit here and envision MJF losing big matches back to back in the span of 2 weeks. Losing to Ospreay at All In. Going and losing to Garcia at All Out, I don't see it. I don't see it. I also don't see this being one match. So he may well go in there after all this big trash talk. He may go in there and end up losing on Saturday because, like I said, it just doesn't feel like the time for MJF to be losing on Saturday at All Out. But overall, I thought this was a good segment. I thought it was a good segment to kick things off here on the show. We had Kazuchika Okada one-on-one with Kyle Fletcher for the Continental Championship. Don Callis joined on commentary. As the match went on, he was taking exception. All the times that Kyle Fletcher was showboating, he was showing off for the fans, it was getting under Callis' skin. It was really bothering him. So that's something to watch for going forward, because clearly he was not happy with what he was seeing out of Kyle Fletcher here. One thing Fletcher, I will say, is consistent with is going on TV and having very good matches. And Okada does too. But it's Okada. Like, you know what you're getting in him. He's one of the greatest of this generation. I mean, the man's body of work speaks for itself. And I don't just mean championships. I mean his actual body of work. All the matches he goes in there and has. All those classic matches. All those great matches he had over the years. We know what he can do. If anything, he's holding back. He's holding back compared to what he could do. Fletcher, though, he goes out there every single week that we see him on TV, whether it's against Ospreay, whether it's against anybody. We've seen him in there against almost everybody at this point at the top of the card. He was against Ishii on Collision. They were having a forearm contest that I thought would never end. I'm surprised it's not going on now. But he goes out there, he's having these really good matches. The problem is Okada goes out there, has good matches, and wins. He's been protected. He's won every single match he's been in. Fletcher does the exact opposite. He goes out there and loses 98% of the matches that he's in. But the fans got behind him. Even though he's a Don Callis guy, and even though his win-loss record leaves a lot to be desired, they were getting behind him here as the match went on. So Okada was looking for a tombstone on the apron. Fletcher, though, reversed it into a brainbuster, and both men fell to the floor outside. That took us into a commercial break. Thomas says, Fletcher is on a 9-match losing streak. I'm not surprised. That's exactly what I say. You could always rely on him to go out there and have a quality match, but he's only at a certain level because he goes out there and loses all the time. So after the break, Okada hit a running boot, sent Fletcher over the barricade. As Okada tried a draping DDT, Fletcher countered with a brainbuster onto the top part of the barricade. And Okada fell into the crowd. So finally, Fletcher is he's charging in. He gets a running start. Clears the barricade with a somersault dive. Wipes out Okada. Fletcher played to the crowd. And Callis says, look, every second is precious. Time is money here. Let's go. So again, you could sense the frustration in his voice. Fletcher brought Okada back into the ring for an elbow drop. But then he played to the crowd. And this angered Don Callis even more. Fletcher did the Rainmaker pose, but Okada rolled through a backslide into a clothesline, maintained wrist control, and he hit another lariat. Then he tried for the actual Rainmaker, but Fletcher countered. Now look, two lariats, it may not exactly be the Rainmaker, but it's a fucking clothesline, okay? It's the same thing. And so this annoyed me in the same way that the Cody Rhodes-Kevin Owens match annoyed me in Berlin last weekend when we had two crossroads and then Owens just no-sold it when he countered out of the third one. Like, it didn't have any effect on him. Minor thing, but that kind of shit just bugs me. So with 1 minute remaining in the time limit, as we have here in these Continental title matches, Fletcher went up top. Okada, though, pulled referee Rick Knox in front of him. Fletcher went after Okada, who did the ripcord into the Rainmaker, but with Knox, because he got bounced around here a little bit, he was temporarily distracted. His eyes were not on what was going on. Okada got a low blow. After the low blow, he got the Rainmaker, and then he pinned Fletcher to retain the Continental title. Good match. Okada is going to defend his championship in a four-way match, because why not? At All Out on Saturday, the other challengers are going to be decided by qualifying matches that will be taking place on Collision, which is taking place on Friday this week. Opposite SmackDown. Good luck. The final SmackDown, by the way, on Fox, airing on Friday night. But yes, they have a pay-per-view on Saturday, so you're not going to air Collision on Saturday, so they're doing it on Sunday instead, or on Friday instead. I should mention, though, as awful as that show is going to get slaughtered, on Friday, out of its normal time slot, up against WWE. It's fucking dead. But Collision, which did not have any competition, any direct competition from wrestling on Saturday, Bash in Berlin was already over. In its normal time slot, Collision did the worst rating that has ever done in the history of the show. 289,000 viewers on Saturday night in its normal time slot. Worst number the show has ever done. They may break that. They may set the new record this Friday. I was one of them, by the way, watching that show. I tuned into Collision on Saturday, even after Berlin. So I was one of those 289,000 watching the show, and I can see why the show did 289,000 viewers. It's just not appointment television. There's no reason for you to go out of your way on a Saturday night, no less, to watch Collision. So it's not hard to see why the numbers have suffered. Give people something they want to see, they'll tune in. You don't, they won't. Pretty simple, right? Anyway, those qualifying matches on Collision are Orange Cassidy against Brian Keith, Mark Briscoe against Lance Archer, and Konosuke Takeshita against the Beast Mortos. So we have Lance Archer doing another job. He's doing another job. Every time I see his name even mentioned, I don't even need to know who the opponent is going to be. I already know what the outcome of the match is going to be. I just, you know, you don't have to put too much thought into it. So Takeshita came out to check on Kyle Fletcher in the ring because they're both members of the Callis family. And he had some words with Okada as Okada was leaving with his title. So we got our first Okada Takeshita tease here. Yes, please. Even better. I got a better idea. Let's get rid of the other two spots and just have a one-on-one match for the Continental title. I don't need Cassidy. I don't need Archer, Briscoe. No. Goodbye. One-on-one Okada and Takeshita. They better be building to this. But that's the match I would prefer to get at All Out. They want to save it, maybe do it at WrestleDream, fine. But I'm all about that. I'm all about that match. Excalibur announced that, again, he was talking about all of these matches that are going to be taking place on Friday, and there was a segment that came up a little bit later with Cassidy and Brian Keith, who were having a match, and I'll get to that in a second. Then they aired the Swerve segment that I mentioned they posted on social media earlier in the day, which was a very emotional segment. Swerve talking about his childhood home. His home was foreclosed on, and now he's got all this money, and he's able to buy his childhood home. You know, it makes me think of my childhood home here in Brooklyn. It was an apartment complex. We were on the very first level. Remember, I locked my mother out one day. I was like five. Locked her out of the apartment. I have vague memories of this too. Like, she's trying to point to me in the window, like the door, and I'm just like looking at her and everything. And yeah, that was fun. But I think back to my childhood home and I think, man, if I had enough money one day to buy my childhood home, how great would that be? Right? Right? No. No. If it were up to me, I would do to my childhood home what Hangman did to Swerve's childhood home at the end of the show. I have no interest in going back to my childhood home. Swerve was very sentimental. So they aired that segment again here. This is the home, by the way, where in this segment, he said, bought this house back. I want to raise my kids in this house. Now they're going to get to experience all the things that I did in this house. And I thought, no, they're not. Doom was yet to come later on here in this show. We had Jamie Hayter one-on-one with Robin Renegade. I've been wondering what the story is behind this injury that kept this woman off television for over a year. I thought it was a shoulder injury, but she vanished off the face of the earth. And we had not heard anything about Jamie Hayter or from Jamie Hayter in over a year. Nothing on social media, nothing, no photos, no updates, no nothing. She finally opened up about her injury to Renee Paquette. If you didn't see it, it's up on the AEW YouTube channel. She sat down with her. You got to see what Jamie is wearing and what she's looking like here in this video. She looks like something out of a 1970s film. with the hair and the outfit she was wearing. She looks great, but I'm watching this going, is she auditioning for some new version of That 70s Show? But we finally got an answer as to what kept her out of the ring for so long. It was nothing to do with a shoulder. She had two herniated discs in her back. She was in such debilitating pain. She was in agony laying down. She was in agony standing up, sitting. She couldn't get comfortable. She was in constant pain. She thought it was sciatica. Had no idea. And apparently she had it for a while. She was wrestling on it. Two herniated discs. Did not have surgery. It was all rest and rehab. She did not have to go under the knife. And that, so think about that. I don't know how long she would have been out if she would have had to have the surgery, but at least now we have some answers as to what it was that kept her out for so long, and it's understandable because that's a very painful injury to have. But she said that she is feeling great. She says she's feeling 200%, and she's looked great so far in her comeback. Last week, she made short work out of Harley Cameron. Tonight it was Robin Renegade. This is the second straight match, by the way, on this show that ended with a clothesline. Back-to-back matches with finishes that end with a clothesline. I'll tell you what, though. Jamie Hayter puts more on that Haterade than Okada does on the Rainmaker. So if I had the choice of taking one finisher over the other, I'd rather take the Rainmaker than take the Haterade. She lays that shit in. And so she beats Robin Renegade handily. Excalibur said that she will not rest until she gets her hands on Saraya, who was shown watching the match in the back looking very unimpressed. So it's good to have Jamie Hayter back. As for the match, it was a squash. What else do you want me to say? Roderick Strong was backstage with Renee and Christopher Daniels, pleading his case to the both of them about how his foot was under the bottom rope before he tapped out last week in his match. It was a tag match with Hook. Daniels said the referee did not see it, and I call bullshit on that, because if you remember, and I pointed this out in my review last week, I think it was Aubrey who was the referee in that match. She literally, when she got up, she had to have seen it because she stepped over his leg to call for the bell. So I don't want to hear this bullshit about how the referee didn't see it. Fuck you, the referee didn't see it. She stepped right over it. So Hook came in, and he said, you know what? You're right, I saw the replay, and you're right, your foot was under the bottom rope. And he said, they can fight tonight. We don't have to wait, we could do it tonight for the FTW title. And Roddy said that he wasn't wrestling at a dump like Milwaukee, but he'll call his shot when he is good and ready. So we are just going to continue on infinitely with these FTW title matches. And this is where Hook will be slotted, I guess, for the rest of his career here in AEW. I thought that the moment that he and Taz had at Wembley was the perfect time to retire the FTW. It was kind of the final chapter in many ways, a great final parting chapter in the history of the FTW championship that his father started. But they're keeping it around, and he's just going to continue to defend this title against other random people in the mid-card on this show. Okay. Can't say that I care, but okay. Now, what I was interested in seeing, even though he's not scheduled for a match on the card, and this was the go-home show, so the focus was really on All Out, but we had a very interesting segment with Jon Moxley last week where he had that comment about how this is not your company anymore. Then we saw him in the back with Marina Shafir, and the two of them left together, so what's that all about? And everybody, you know, immediately thinks Shane McMahon. This is not your company anymore? What does he mean by that? And people are fantasy booking. What could this mean? How could this be the introduction maybe of Shane? How do they introduce him into the company? Hopefully they don't. But it probably does have something to do with him, but you would never know it by watching the show tonight, because the follow-up here was totally forgettable. If you were in a coma and you missed this week of Dynamite and you awoken from your coma, and you showed up next week, next Wednesday, you're going to sit down in front of your TV and watch the show, you didn't miss anything as far as this goes. You missed nothing. He came out, him and Marina, they came through the crowd to his Death Rider theme from New Japan. I have to say, out of all of Jon Moxley's theme songs post-WWE, his best one is still his original AEW instrumental theme. That's still his best theme. His second best theme is his Death Rider theme. Wild Thing is pulling up the rear. I got Wild Thing slotted right at the bottom of the list. I don't know if that's considered a hot take. I don't think it is, but make of that what you will. So Moxley wondered if Darby Allin was here in Milwaukee. They were in Milwaukee tonight. I think they only had like 2,300 or 2,500 people maybe in the building. They didn't have a big crowd tonight. So he was wondering if Darby was in Milwaukee. He said, nah, I didn't think so. He said a few years ago he wrestled someone that nobody ever heard of. He wrestled somebody who slept in his car, and he beat the piss out of him for 20 minutes. And on that night, he realized this kid was special. He goes, this guy is special. He goes, I'm not an impatient man, but the clock is ticking, Darby. I just want to talk. He says, let's make this easy. I don't want to apply any pressure, but I will, so don't make me. He said, Darby, I just want to talk. That's it. And at that point, he and Marina Shafir, they left the ring, went right back the way they came through the crowd, and that was the end of that. And Taz on commentary was wondering about these riddles and how it has everybody confused. Uh-oh, he said riddle. Don't read too much into that. So yeah, this was lame. This was very lame and disappointing. If you were expecting some other development or another person to join the crew or another hint of something, there was nothing. There was no Darby, and there was no real follow-up to anything here. I still think that Darby's got a world championship match coming up at Grand Slam in a few weeks. Probably 2 weeks, maybe three. One, two, let me see. How many weeks do we? I need to know. 3 weeks. All right, so we're 3 weeks away from Grand Slam. A lot can happen in 3 weeks. Maybe Jon Moxley gets involved in that. Maybe Jon Moxley ends up costing him in some way the championship in that match. Are they going to feud? Is he trying to recruit Darby? We don't know. We still have more questions than answers. Last week's segment, though, and here's what I didn't like about this. Last week's segment left us with questions, but it was a nice hook. It was a nice little cliffhanger that made you, well, theoretically, made you want to tune in the following week to see where it was going to go. If you watch this segment, I don't think too many people were watching this segment thinking, oh boy, I can't wait till next week to see what the follow-up is. It was just kind of like, eh, all right, you know what? I'm already losing interest. That's how I felt when the segment was over. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I was talking before about the new Vince McMahon docuseries coming to Netflix in a few weeks. You want to hear something that'll blow your mind? Netflix has more than 18,000 titles globally, but less than half of those are actually available to watch in the U.S. You're paying for Netflix and missing out on literally thousands of shows and movies. That is, unless you use ExpressVPN, like I do. Netflix hides content from you based on your location. How ExpressVPN allows you to get around this is it lets you change your online location so you control where you want Netflix to think that you're located. They have servers in over 100 countries, so you can easily gain access to thousands of hours of content and never run out of stuff to watch. And it's not just Netflix that it works with. It works on other streaming services too, like Disney+. What makes ExpressVPN the best VPN? For one, it's easy to use. You don't need to jump on YouTube and scroll for instructional videos on how to use the damn thing. Just pull up the app, click one button, and change locations, and you're done. That's it. It also works on all your devices, phones, laptops, tablets, smart TVs. You all have smart TVs, right? You don't have dumb TVs. If you do have dumb TVs, you need to buy yourself a smart TV. It's 2024. What are you doing using a dumb TV anyway? But that's the beauty of it. Even if you don't have one, it'll work on all your other devices. It's super fast, too. There's a reason it's rated number one by top tech websites like CNET and The Verge. I've mentioned that The Dark Knight is my favorite movie. I absolutely love it. But it's not on Netflix in the US anymore. Hasn't been for a while. I actually have it on DVD, but it's a pain in my ass to plug in my DVD player. You know what I did? I used ExpressVPN to switch my location to Australia, and I watched The Dark Knight on Netflix in Australia. I love playing around with it to see what I can get access to. And when I saw that, I said, you know what? I think it's time for a rewatch. And literally, all I had to do to unblock the movie was open ExpressVPN, select Australia, tap one button to connect, refresh Netflix, and there it was. Anybody can do it. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/solomonster. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/solomonster to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. Renee was in the back with the Learning Tree crew. Hi, guys. Jericho, Big Bill, and Brian Keith, his branches, they were all in the back. Jericho, again, for the second time in as many weeks, brought up his $7,000 jacket that Orange Cassidy destroyed 4 years ago. So, yeah, we're still talking about this jacket from 4 years ago. And they aired footage. They had footage of the Inner Circle being, I guess, orange juice was dumped on them. They were still running Daily's Place with all the pandemic era shows. So you saw Mike Santana and Ortiz are in there. And that made me think, man, you know, at that time, if you were watching Dynamite at that time, and I told you that at no point would Santana and Ortiz hold the tag team titles, you probably would have thought, there's no way. Of course they, at least once, right? Nope. Nope. You're going to tell me they came out of the Inner Circle better off than they were before they went in? You're going to tell me that Jericho was such a big help to their careers? I saw them out there in that little piece of footage they showed, and it made me angry. But you know what? Good for Santana. Mike Santana is fucking killing it these days. Good for him. So Jericho said he never forgets. Brian Keith is going to get revenge for him on Collision when Keith has that qualifying match for the Continental title match with Orange Cassidy, who walked in very casually. He strolled into the camera frame. Jericho was standing right there. He never made eye contact with him. He was just looking at Brian Keith, and he told Keith, he goes, look, he's going to make it easy. If Brian Keith beats him on Friday on Collision, Orange Cassidy will give Jericho back his $7,000 in cash. And then he strolled off. So that's it. That's where we are now. Do you care? Do you care if Chris Jericho gets his $7,000 back? Because I don't. I find it hard to care about anything that Jericho does these days. I'll tell you who I do care about. Mariah May. Sweet Mariah. Her first title defense here as the AEW Women's World Champion against Nyla Rose, the former champion. Mariah avoided a beast bomb, and she was smacking Nyla around with a smile on her face, too. Smacking her around. Finally, she got flattened by a charging crossbody. Later in the match, Mariah escaped the beast bomb again, tried a crossbody, but Nyla rolled through into a power slam. And Mariah rolled to the floor. I think she may have hit her head. When the match was over, it looked like the top of her head was all bruised up, unless that was makeup or something. It was all bruised up on her forehead. Aubrey Edwards goes outside to check on her, but it was a ruse, because when Nyla got out of the ring and was standing on the steps, Mariah went and swept her leg out from underneath. And then she landed a running knee strike. Mariah got back inside. She demands that Aubrey count the 10. Nyla makes it back into the ring, though, with the count of 9. Mariah connects on a charging knee, and then Storm Zero, right as Nyla gets back in the ring, and on the Storm Zero, she pins her and retains her championship here in her very first title defense. The match itself was okay. Mariah notches her first win. No indication given whatsoever, not even a hint, about her first real program coming out of her championship win. Now, she only just won the championship not that long ago, but it's pretty clear they're not going to add a last-minute title match with her on Friday on Collision, so she's not going to be on the all-out card. But again, there was no indication of who her next challenger is going to be. I don't think it's going to be Toni Storm. I just don't feel like they're going to continue that. I think it'll be on to somebody else. Who that person is going to be, we don't know. But you've probably seen the clip going around social media the last few days. Mariah May was a guest on Barstool Sports, one of their podcasts, and they had her in studio. and she was sitting on the couch, and there was one of the co-hosts was sitting on the opposite end of the couch. He had his laptop in his lap, and they were razzing this guy because he was turning so many shades of red, he looked like a tomato, and he could not make eye contact with this one. He was so nervous, and they're all laughing at him. He goes, no, I'm not nervous. It's just, you know, it's hot in here, and all these bullshit excuses. This guy, man, he was struggling. He was fighting for his life. He couldn't even make eye contact with this woman. He was folding like a cheap suit. And finally, Mariah, she leans into the microphone and goes, look at me. Now, to be fair, if Mariah May leaned into the microphone and said, look at me, I'd probably fold too. But he turns and he's struggling and stuff. It was just the funniest thing. It was the funniest 50 seconds I saw in the last few days. I'm sure you've seen the clip. If not, you could find it on social media. But hey, you know what, brother? I'm not going to make fun of the guy, though. I mean, I guess I just did. But I'm not going to make fun of this guy because I probably would have been the same way. I'm just saying. Mariah just has, she just has that, I'm going to throw that word out there. I'm going to throw that word out there that everybody has been using about Julia in the last 48 hours. She's got that aura about her. I think Mariah is great. We got a video package for Deonna Purrazzo. It should have been me. Solo said, I'd be like the Dolph Ziggler. It should have been me. Hey, you know what? She's welcome anytime. She's welcome anytime. Not here, but like she's welcome anytime on the show. I'd love to talk to Mariah. She seems like a fun girl to talk to. I would love to talk to Mariah. I don't think that's going to happen. So we got a video package for Deonna Purrazzo, and she was at a table. She was surrounded by candles. She talked about how every great artist goes through phases. She said the Texas Bull Rope match with Thunder Rosa was meant to be her magnum opus, but it wasn't. And then she took a sip of her wine. She slammed the glass down and then said that she is not finished making art. So we got a video package here referencing a match that happened 3 weeks ago on Collision with somebody other than the woman who they then said Deonna is going to be wrestling on Collision this Friday, which is Sheeta. Okay. A woman, by the way, that I am sure is going to beat Deonna because Sheeta is challenging for the TBS title on Saturday. So why the fuck would she go in there on Friday and lose to Deonna Purrazzo, who is doing nothing right now? So I'm not really sure what the point of this was, but cool. Sure. Speaking of which, we have the TBS champion, Mercedes Moné and Camille, out to the ring. I never really know what to expect when we see Mercedes out here with a microphone in her hand. What is she going to say? Who is she going to address? What material have they given her? Is this going to be good? Is this not going to be good? This was nothing special. She gets in the ring. She runs down Hikaru Shida, asking how can she be the ace when she's not the face of TBS? Crowd chanted, "Holy Shida." And Mercedes said that she's the face of the whole damn company. Shida was then shown on the big screen. And she said that in their last match, Mercedes was one katana away from defeat. Only one thanks to her watchdog. Mercedes knows that she can't beat the ace. So Christopher Daniels walks in, also on the screen, right where Shida is. And Daniels walks in and says that, Camille, you're a great competitor, but every time you're at ringside, you're a nuisance. And so therefore, you are hereby banned from ringside for the TBS title match on Saturday at All Out. Mercedes threw a fit over this. Shida said that she knows Mercedes is aware of how to speak some Japanese. And then she told her, sayonara, bitch. So is bitch just the go-to word for all of their Japanese talent? Is that how it works? Now we have Okada with the bitch. That sounded weird. I mean, he's a player. The guy's a player, I'm sure. But we have Okada, you know, saying bitch. We have Shida saying bitch. I mean, I guess it's an easy pot. So, I mean, I guess why not? But Is that like the new, like what Indeed was for Sho Funaki back in the day when they had him doing that all the time? That aside, I do have to say Sheeta's English has come a long way from when she first started in this company all those years ago. Her English is pretty good. It's like noticeably better than the, you know, how it was many years ago. It's just weird because we see more and more international talent on WWE television, NXT, AEW, and I think that's great. And honestly, whether it's Will Ospreay or whoever, some of these international names are some of the biggest names in some of these companies. But you'll have, whether it's a Japanese talent or a talent from Mexico, and they're on television. You know, they're in this company and they're on television. They're there for years. And their English isn't nearly as good as Sheeta's was here in this segment. And it makes you think, like, some of those talents are in the exact same spot that they were in all those years ago. And you would think they would kind of figure that out and get that message, and they just don't. And I do think that that is something that will hold you back, especially maybe more so in WWE than in AEW. But there's such a heavy emphasis put on, you know, the verbal skills and the verbal segments, that if you can't communicate in English, clearly in English, and kind of cut a promo, not more than a few lines, I do think that you are going to lose out on opportunities, you know, rightly or wrongly. That's just the way it is. And I don't know, sometimes I'll see somebody, I'm like, man, it's been 3 years. You would think that, you know, they'd be better off now than they were 3 years ago. Some people put the work in, some people don't. Some people put the work in and maybe they just can't get it. Other people, they get it like that. So I don't know. It's just something that something I've noticed. Just different for everybody, I guess. Maybe for some people, it's just harder. You know, I don't know. For other people, they just may not want to do it. It's not a priority to them. But I do think their career may end up suffering for it. As far as this match, you know, the TBS title match coming up on Saturday, it's going to be a good match, I think. Mercedes had a good match at the New Japan show last Friday. She's had other good matches too. Even the match that her and Sheeta had last month, which Sheeta referenced, and I like that she referenced their first match on Dynamite in August. What I remember of it was good. The Britt Baker thing is just sort of this anomaly that's in there where it's like, oh, that's the one match that wasn't good. And we could kind of throw that away and not go back to that. We can move on from that. I think these two will have a good match. It's just tough because they had no time to build it up. So it's hard to get excited. It's like, all right, yeah, it'll be good. So what? You know, every other match on these AEW pay-per-views we know is going to be very good or great. So it's like, is there a story? Is there a feud? Is there something, some personal issue between them? And in this case, no. Nope. They had 2 weeks to build to their next pay-per-view. And so this is the next challenger that they're just spitting out for Mercedes. And it's like, all right, it's hard to get excited about that, but okay. The Young Bucks were backstage with Jack Perry, who said that 3 years ago at All Out in Chicago, he was in the ring at the very moment that Bryan Danielson arrived in the company. And he promised himself that one day he would stand in the same ring with the American Dragon. Fast forward, earlier this year, he was sitting at home. And he heard that Danielson's career was coming to an end. And he said that he thought he wouldn't get his chance, but he didn't give up. He said he went to Japan, he started over, he said that he sold his own t-shirts, he did everything he had to get back to AEW, and he did it all by himself. Danielson could have helped someone like him, but he didn't, because he only cares about his fairy tale ending. He only cares about number one. Saturday at All Out, it's not going to have a happy ending. And then Matt Jackson said that they'll do anything to make sure the AEW world title comes home to the Elite. The main event of the show, not the closing segment, but the final match of the night, was a trios match, non-title, with the new trios tag team champions, Pac, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta, taking on Will Ospreay, Orange Cassidy, and Kyle O'Reilly. We had the AEW World Champion, Bryan Danielson, on commentary for this match. We got an early exchange here between Ospreay and Pack. We got a stalemate, a bit of a stalemate there, although I guess Ospreay kind of got one over on Pack and then Pack tagged out. But a little taste, just a little taste of what we can expect from these two on Saturday at the pay-per-view. What we got here was good, but what we'll get on Saturday, I'm sure, will be great. That's one of the matches. That and the main event are the two matches I am most looking forward to from that show on Saturday. So after being isolated for a while, Cassidy dove for the hot tag to Ospreay. Pac bailed out of the ring as Yuta and Claudio took the punishment. Kyle charged in for a shot on Pac, and then things went to a commercial before Pac and Ospreay had a chance to go at it again. We come back. Claudio is wearing out Cassidy with the anvil elbows. Pac and Ospreay, they fought up the ramp. Yuta cut them off. Ended up eating a hook kick in the process. Ospreay wanted Hidden Blade. Pac, though, tried to sneak attack. He tried to sneak in a poison rana just like he did last week on the stage. But this time, Ospreay had it scouted. Sent him off the stage, which was hardly a long way down, but, you know, he sent him off the stage 2 feet. And then Ospreay ended up doing a somersault dive. The two of them end up brawling to the back. So for the rest of this match, we don't see these two again. They're gone. Back in the ring, Cassidy hit a top rope DDT on Claudio, who then ducked an orange punch, ate a Stung Dog Millionaire, and then a beach break for a close two count. Kyle locked in a guillotine. Claudio was fading. Ultimately, though, he powered up into an uppercut. The giant swing followed. We had 10 revolutions. Yuta flew in with a drop kick to the head and got pinned for the Blackpool Combat Club to secure the win. So Brian Danielson now comes down to the ring to celebrate with his fellow BCC members before they all get attacked from behind by the Elite. And the Bucks and Okada, they put the boots to Danielson. Jack Perry grabbed the chair. Claudio and Yuta, they made the save. Danielson then told Perry it was time for him to get his fucking head kicked in, which they bleeped, but we got the full word there. The Bucks and Okada, though, they pulled him to safety. Claudio got a microphone, and he said that the Elite just made the biggest mistake of their lives. Lately, he's been in the mood for collecting gold. He goes, I got a trophy from CMLL that he's been walking around with that he won a few weeks ago. He's 1/3 of the Trios champions. Now, he says he's going to challenge the Bucks to a tag team title match at All Out. What do you say? You two against me and Yuta. So Excalibur on commentary is saying that the Bucks, they're not going to be very eager to accept, even though in the background you can see and hear Nick Jackson. He keeps saying, okay, okay, over and over again. And Danielson promises it All Out. Jack Perry is going to get his head kicked in. Meanwhile, they cut to the back. Pac and Ospreay are still brawling. They end up on top of a bunch of production cases. And Pac gave him a brainbuster on top of the case. So that'll be one story, I guess, they tell in the match. Ospreay coming in not at 100%. He was favoring his neck. He'll probably show up with tape all over his neck, just like everybody shows up with tape. We have Braun Strowman showing up with tape on his ribs on Monday night. I'm good. I'm good to go. The medical team says I'm good to go. I'm wondering in my head which medical team is worse, WWE or AEW. I think AEW still has the edge for the worst medical staff when it comes to these injuries. But anyway, he will be there. He will be defending his title against Pac, but Ospreay was left laying at the end of this. The match itself, again, it was a good match. It was good. It was fine. But they announced breaking news. They put the graphic up in the corner of the screen. I mean, it was like blink and you missed it. For Collision on Friday, they have added an 8-man tag team match. It's going to be Brian Danielson, Pac, Claudio, Yuta, taking on all the members of the Elite. They're calling it the All-Star 8-Man Tag Team Match. This thing was thrown out there like a complete afterthought. But they're putting it out there. That'll be the final show, technically, before the pay-per-view. They actually have a 3-hour block on Friday night. They have Collision. Then they have this Road to All Out special, I think, at 10 o'clock. I mean, give me a break. No. No. There's no way. Now we get to the good stuff. This was easily the best thing on the entire show, as far as I'm concerned. You could take your good matches and enjoy. This right here was the one segment I think that was truly a go-home segment that would get you excited to want to see one of the feature matches on that pay-per-view card. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to bring out Swerve Strickland and Prince Nana. They get into the ring and Schiavone thanks him and says, look, you guys have agreed to no physicality, so thank you for that. Swerve is sitting at the desk and he's waiting for Hangman. And they play Hangman's music and there's no Hangman Page. So Tony Schiavone introduces him again and again. They play Hangman's theme. There's no Hangman Page. But wait, there he is. He's up on the big screen. And it appears that he is walking into the supposed childhood home of one Swerve Strickland. So he's in the house now. He said Swerve was a hard man to find. He looked everywhere. You know, he's got a fiance that left him, kids he doesn't see anymore. But he says Swerve messed up. He showed him something very important to him. He talked about how important his childhood home. Which, honestly, actually, I mean, that really was very fucking stupid if you think about it. Because here's a guy in Swerve who broke into Hangman's house and threatened his family. If I'm Swerve Strickland, let's map this story out here. If I'm Swerve Strickland, the last thing I'm going to do when I know that there is somebody out there who his only mission is to make my life a living hell and just burn everything to the ground, I may keep it to myself that I just bought my childhood home and not show it on TV and show it to the world. So he kind of fucked up when he did that. He's got a point there. So Hangman said he can see it now. As he's looking around the house, he can see, you know, Swerve's mom running across these dirty ass floors, fixing his supper. He can see Swerve's father yelling at him to shut the hell up so he can hear the television. Well, I thought that was just my dad that did that. He said also, Swerve's father, knowing what kind of a man he turned out to be, he would bet that his father probably didn't love him very much. He'll bet that he regrets having him at all. And what a wonderful world it would have been had he never been born. So Swerve, they show him in the ring. He is throwing furniture around, the table, the chair. Hangman had a gas can. And as he's speaking and walking around the house, you can hear he's pouring gasoline out all over the place. He told Swerve for months and months and months that there was nothing he wanted more out of this life. He told him nothing more that he wanted than to burn his world to the ground. This Saturday, locked inside that steel cage, he is going to take his pride. He is going to take Swerve's dignity. Because Swerve will be on his knees begging for his mercy, but he will not give it to him. But it's time to say goodbye to the AEW World Championship and any idea of him ever holding it again. This Saturday, he will say goodbye to his health and his happiness. And tonight, he gets to say goodbye to Swerve's house. And with that, he lit a match. At this point, he was sitting in a chair, probably Swerve's father's chair, outside the house. And in the background, you saw the house. In the foreground, you saw Hangman. And obviously, there was some distance between him and the house because he drops the match on the ground. And it didn't take very long. The house is engulfed in flames. It is a raging inferno. It's like Randy Orton setting fire to Bray Wyatt's shack in the middle of the woods and then doing the douche pose. Right? That's the only thing that was missing here, is Hangman Page doing some sort of douche pose, Randy Orton style, and the house goes up in flames. And they cut back to the ring, and there you see Swerve Strickland, and he's helpless. There's nothing he can do. He's on his knees, and he's crying and seething with anger. This was chef's kiss, as they say. This was great. This was a great final cap before we get to All Out. To just heat this thing up that much more. As personal as it already was between these two, they found a way to make it that much more personal. Hangman got one over finally on Swerve. Again, you think back to the beginning of this story and what started last year with criminal trespass has now ended with arson. So here we are now. The wheels of justice clearly move very slowly, in the wrestling world. Both these men should be behind bars right now, and they will be on Saturday. Appropriately, they will be locked in a cage. They will be locked in a cell at All Out, where they belong. This is going to be great. The first match they had at WrestleDream was great. The Texas Death Match was the most violent match I've ever seen. That shit was sick. I don't mean sick like it was great. I mean, it was, but it was sick. The things they did to each other. Drinking the blood. That's sick. I don't really want to see that again, but you know what we're going to get on Saturday is going to be a violent, bloody affair. And it is the match that I am most looking forward to. This All Out, as far as I'm concerned, is all built around this. You take this cage match off this card, I am not nearly as interested in this pay-per-view. But they have an issue here that has been building and building and simmering now for months. So this is one of the very few matches on this show, not the only one, but one of the very few that doesn't feel slapped together on 2 weeks' notice with no story. Right? There's plenty of story here. And on that note, let's get into the all-out card. All in, all out. Get my pay-per-views mixed up here. Let's get to the card. Let's run down this card as it currently stands, and I'll throw my predictions in as we go along here. We have Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander. They're going to have themselves a Chicago street fight. This will not be for the CMLL Women's World Championship because in kayfabe, in storyline, CMLL, they don't sanction these types of stipulations. And it's very bizarre to me because Statlander pinned Willow on Dynamite last month in an eliminator match. So she earned the right to challenge for the CMLL women's title. I don't know why we're not getting the match for the championship, but in storyline, that's why the title is not on the line in this match. When I thought the title was on the line, I had Willow as my pick. I'll stick with Willow. With the title not being on the line, this could go either way, but I'm going to go with Willow Nightingale for the win. And this should be good. Again, I think with the style that these two work, I think it'll be a physical match. And I think it'll be very good. Just added tonight, you heard on Dynamite, AEW World Tag Team titles will be defended. The Young Bucks put the belts on the line against the Blackpool Combat Club. Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta. They ain't winning those tag team titles. They have their trios belts. They're not winning the tag team titles from the Young Bucks. MJF goes one-on-one with Daniel Garcia. Obviously, the history between these two goes back at least to June, if not before that, which MJF has talked about in past promos, you know, the interactions between them and him almost trying to be like a mentor or give him positive feedback. But it all goes back to that vicious attack a couple months ago. So there is a little bit of a story here with these two. You know, Daniel Garcia should win. He should, based on all the promises he's been making, all the things he said that he's going to do to MJF. For him to go in there and just lose would be pretty lame for him. I'm sticking with MJF for the win. This will not be the end with these two. I don't see him losing back-to-back. It could happen, but I don't see it happening here on this show. So I'm picking MJF for the win. We have Mercedes Moné defending her TBS championship against Hikaru Shida, who won a four-way match on Collision last weekend to earn the right to challenge her for the title. And as we found out tonight, Camille is banned from ringside. That will not change the outcome, though. Mercedes easily going to retain here. Still TBS champion. Liv Morgan flavored ice cream. That was the name. Liv Morgan flavored ice cream. We have Will Ospreay defending the international championship against one third of the trios champions in the Bastard Pack. No Ricochet on the show tonight. No Ricochet, and he will not be on the card at All Out either. Will Ospreay and Pack, you don't need to say anything more than that. You know what you're going to get with these two. You're going to get a great match. And when the match is over, Will Ospreay will still be your international champion. After all the pomp and circumstance and the pyro and the big celebration at Wembley Stadium, do you honestly believe this man is dropping his... Any of the members of the Blackpool Combat Club that already have a belt, they're not winning another one on Saturday. It's not happening. Will Ospreay will win, but it will be a great match. I'm looking forward to this more than every match on this card, except for one. And it's not this next one either. Bryan Danielson defends the AEW World Championship against the TNT champion, Jack Perry. I said it last week when everybody was bitching and moaning on social media about Jack Perry getting a World Championship match. It makes sense. Jack Perry pinned Bryan Danielson in Anarchy in the Arena. Jack Perry is the number two champion right now, technically, in this company. And Bryan Danielson needed an opponent. He needed somebody to get into the ring and beat. It's like a Band-Aid. Rip it off. It'll be painless. It'll be over. And when it's over, you can move on. It's not a big deal. This match will be over in a few days. And Danielson can move on to Darby Allin at Grand Slam. It gives him someone to beat. And he can get his win back for what happened back in May. I have no issue with it. I'm not going to tell you I'm excited for it because I'm not. But I don't have an issue with them blowing through Jack Perry as a world title contender and then moving on to the next. Now, Okada is the Continental Champion. He's going to defend that title in a four-way match. That was also added tonight. We don't know who his opponents are going to be, but it's a pretty safe bet. The Beast Mortos will not be in this fucking match on Saturday. Takeshita will be in there. It will probably be Takeshita, Orange Cassidy, and Mark Briscoe, along with Okada. And that should be great. But what I'm really interested in is Okada and Takeshita and how much of an interaction we get between the two of them in that match. And I would not be opposed, by the way, to crowning Takeshita, not this weekend, but at some point, crowning him the Continental Champion. I don't know when Kenny Omega is going to be back. My guess is they're going to keep that belt on Okada as long as Kenny is out, which could be for many more months. But if they wanted to move that belt away from Okada, Takeshita's right there. But Okada's not losing the championship. I have him retaining. And then in the real main event of this show, the match that should close the show and end the show, unless they have some other big angle planned, it should be this. Inside of a steel cage, Hangman Adam Page, one-on-one with Swerve Strickland. Hangman has never beaten Swerve before. He did get the last laugh, though, tonight. He burned this man's old home to the ground. The champion, the former champion, was on his knees. He was seething with anger, boiling over with rage. Hangman got him. Swerve, here's his chance to come back, get revenge, and come out on top. Hangman, though, I think should win the match. Because I look ahead to where things could be headed for WrestleDream, for example. And there's a lot of different ways this could go. But I like the idea of Hangman finally getting a win, first of all. Finally getting a win over Swerve. And being the one who goes on to take that championship from Bryan Danielson. And then Swerve has to beat Hangman. Maybe at Full Gear. To get that belt back. But now, after what I saw them do tonight, it's 50-50. I felt pretty confident Hangman was going to get the win. I feel less confident now that Hangman is going to get the win, but I'm still going to stick with him as my pick. But, you know, Swerve's had a rough few weeks. He lost the world championship in the main event at Wembley. Now his childhood home has been burned to the ground. Now it's a crime scene. He may get the win just to get back some of that momentum and get back in the win column. But if it's me, Hangman needs this win more than Swerve does. And I love the work that he's been doing. I think this new character change for him has been pitch perfect. It's been exactly what he needed. These two, I feel like these two are destined to dance forever. Right? They'll get away from it for a while, but then this is going to go down as one of the great feuds in the history of this company. And for good reason, because it's one of the few. There's a rich history between them that dates back a year. And it's not just any wrestling program. It's not just your typical wrestling feud. It's personal. It's personal. And the matches they had, especially at Full Gear last year, was just beyond anything that we've ever seen before here in this company. So at every turn, this thing has been personal, and Hangman went from being the babyface at the beginning of all this to being the guy who goes out there and gets booed. But when you really stop and think about it, he did nothing wrong. Swerve is the one who committed a crime and broke into this man's home and terrorized his family. Anybody in Hangman's shoes would feel the exact same way, and they too would want revenge. So why is he getting booed? Because people like, you know, they swerve when they drive, I guess. They like singing the song. But Hangman has done nothing wrong. I'm rooting for the Hangman. This man deserves to get his comeuppance, Swerve does, for all the shit that he put this guy through. How is he the heel in this scenario? Well, I mean, technically, he's now committed a crime as well. He's an arsonist now. But in wrestling, that's fine, though. We always see attempted murder. We see all kinds of crimes committed in wrestling. Nobody ever gets arrested. You can pretty much do anything you want. How many times in the Attitude Era did we see attempted vehicular homicide? Right? We saw, was it Steve Blackman who hit Ken Shamrock with his car? He was backing out of his spot and he hit him with his car. We had Rikishi run down Stone Cold. I know there are other instances of this. We had Shane McMahon who tried to fucking murder Kane by whatever the hell it was that he did. And he put the car in motion and the car drove into the trailer. Does anybody ever go to jail? Are people still serving prison sentences? No. No. But now they have something in common. They both committed crimes. So they're both criminals. What do you do with criminals? You lock them in a cage. And that's exactly what we're going to get on Saturday. And that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. But that's the card. They may add more, but there's a pre-show. I know there's a zero-hour pre-show again, so I'm sure Tony Khan is going to add some more. But that is the card as it currently stands. That is All Out. I will probably be live on Saturday night, but I'll be honest with you. It's 50-50. I may wait until the... I'm doing a podcast on Sunday. I may just wait until the podcast. I'm undecided right now. You know, these shows, they're so late. And when I have a show the next day, it's one of the reasons that I feel like I'm one of the few who likes the Sunday pay-per-views, like Sunday night. The Saturday night ones for me are tough. AEW just makes it even worse because of how late the shows go. So I will probably be live with you. But if not, you won't have to wait very long. The review will come to you by the next day, so you don't have to worry. Here's the Twitter poll. What did you think of Dynamite before All Out? 54% thumbs up, 19.7% thumbs in the middle, 26% thumbs down with 1,200 votes in. So, yeah, not a great score. I just didn't think outside of that closing angle. It just was not a very interesting or exciting episode of Dynamite. It was, like I said, pretty boring for a good chunk of the show. At Solomonster on X, let me know what you thought. You guys will let me know like you always do. This will be our third weekend in a row, by the way, with a pay-per-view. We went from All In to Bash in Berlin. Now we go All Out. That's a lot. That's a lot of wrestling. Let's take it back to our old friend GMB. You are hereby GMB to me. GMB wanted to know. Let me see if I can bring it up here on screen. No, it came in before the stream. But GMB wants to know, is Obafemi the best prospect since Brock? I don't know about that. I don't know about best prospect since Brock Lesnar. We're talking 22 years. Actually, more than that. But he's definitely one of their diamonds. He's definitely somebody who I think has all the tools to be a major star for years to come on the main roster as long as he could stay injury-free and stay out of trouble. As people like to tell me all the time, Obafemi is him. I certainly think that he has the potential to be him. Oz and Glorious with a pair of super chats. Thank you, brother. Love AEW, but Tony Khan doesn't care about ratings. That trash Cody QT, I mean MJF Garcia, open, getting 15 minutes to start the show. and this main event are proof. Well, we know he is not a big Daniel Garcia. That we know. Jerome Eugenio, I hope Swerve has good insurance on his house. I don't know, man. He just bought it. I don't know if the policy went through. It's tough, man. You don't have that insurance, it's going to be a tough time for you. David Theory, just wanted to say good luck tomorrow, Commissioner, as the Hog event in Chicago, available to see on Triller TV Plus. Not seeing it in the Triller TV schedule yet for some reason. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And I think it's ridiculous because we should know what's going on at this point, and we don't. But at this moment, it's not on the schedule. I'm hoping it gets added to the schedule tomorrow. So just keep an eye out. Refresh the page in the morning. The link might be up there. And just keep checking back. I wish I had more to tell you, but I know about as much as you do right now. So I know I'll be there. I know I'll be there. Whether we're actually streaming or not, I'll be there. The Juliet. Thank you for the 12. Hulk Hogan is a breathtaking idiot for comparing his situation to Chris Benoit's on Logan Paul's podcast. Also, Swerve and Hangman has to be the midnight main event. I like that. The midnight main event. Yeah, Hulk Hogan is a fucking idiot. Talk more about him on Sunday. Oz and Glorious. Did I just hear the words Dave Matthews Band does a great... Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I think their cover of Burning Down the House is quite good. Bring back the Learning Tree Super Chat, Solomonster. I beg of you. Thanks, God. It's there, man. It's there. It's the new and improved version. Senshi Pride with the 10. I gotta be honest, I was not feeling this Swerve versus Hangman feud, and then this angle happened, and now I am hooked. You weren't feeling it. All right. Well, that's surprising. I mean, it's been one of my favorite things in AEW for the past year. But I feel like if you weren't sold on it before tonight, you probably are sold on it now. El Massey, again, thank you for the 40. Thank you very much. Hate to sound like a hater, no pun intended, but I hate Jamie Hayter's new outfit and new look. I miss her old blonde and brunette look. Don't tell her that. Don't tell her that. Don't get on her bad side. Sidro. What's going on, Sidro? Sidro had no place to go tonight, so he decided to hang out with me like I'm his sloppy seconds here. When does a dad joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. Also told a bad chemistry joke once. It didn't get much of a reaction. You know, you roll out the welcome mat for someone, and this is what you get. This is what you end up with. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with you people? Justin G. All out. By God, no Swerve has the... What? Now, I think he meant now. Now Swerve has the elastro... What? I don't know what that is. I have no idea what that means. Retro KOH, you can dance if you want to. You can just dance all the time. But we don't dance. And if you just dance, then you're in no main event of mine. Very good. Very good, Retro KOH. Oh, man. I'm turning red like Mariah May walked into the room here. That got me. Oh, man. Oh, no. It's Demeter Bullion. The meter bullion is here with a super chat. Do I even want to bother? Do I even want to try? Demeter Bullion, Nanny cheated on Paw with Master Splinter with a $5 super chat. Nanny hugged Splinter but kissed Paw, then punched him in their face while Humberto watched on with Naruto. I laughed with CM Punky Funky and Pun. What is going on here? Demeter Bullion. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Demeter. There's a reason that there is prescription medication that is prescribed for millions of Americans here across the country. I think you might benefit from it. Ace of Masta. Hangman is still in the right. He is. Hey, eye for an eye. Although, he may have taken it to the extreme, but it's eye for an eye, man. Corey Blake, Brother Solo, where's Wardlow? Who cares? Who gives a shit? Also, our beloved New York Mets, 7 straight wins. Yes. I know it's too good to be true, but buy or sell, do you see a postseason berth for the Amazons? I do. I'm going to be optimistic for a change. And I'm going to say that we get a postseason berth. David Thiering, I think the stream we had with 30 Learning Tree Super Chat donos triggered something in Solo Monster to alter the Super Chat. Love the new twist to spice things up. I'm glad you enjoy it, David. Thank you, sir. Base beer is Limp Bizkit or Drake? Limp Bizkit. The Real CS, I'm from the future, and I'm here to tell you the tag team title match for All In next year is going to be FTR against the Young Bucks. Okay, well, hey, the Real CS is from the future, guys. You heard it here first. 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row. You know what? You know what's sad? I would not at all be surprised. Danny Smith says Wardlow sells drugs now. Don't go spreading rumors now. I heard that rumor too, but that's all it is. It's just a rumor. Wardlow, you know, he's got to do something. So Wardlow has taken to the streets. And he's doing what needs to be done. Ain't nobody on the streets going to fuck with Wardlow. Retro KOH. Solo got to talk with the main event of Mania 28 for his show and doesn't think he can talk with Mariah. No way, you got this. Well, I was talking just more like access to her. I have spoken with far bigger names in the wrestling business, yes. But again, this is an open invitation. Anytime. Liv Morgan flavored ice cream. Oh, there's Tony Contana. There he is. The snowman himself. Liv Morgan flavored ice cream with a $12 super chat. Damn it, McIntyre. We can't let Tony Khan outstage us. Go set Larry on fire, says Triple H. I already figured that we were going to get Larry dognapped. We just had the anniversary, 25-year anniversary of the Big Boss Man cooking up pepper steak. Serving it to Al Snow, so maybe Drew McIntyre will draw some inspiration from that. The Juliet, Swerve and Hangman's match is now an unsanctioned lights-out cage match. At All Out, Tony Khan confirmed after Dynamite went off the air. An unsanctioned lights-out cage match? I mean, is that really necessary? It's already a cage match. Okay. That just feels like piling on the stipulations for no real good reason, but all right. No cap. Hey, Solo Monster, thoughts on Low Key? He was the phenomenal in the ring. His temper got him major heat. Well, I've had the chance to call a bunch of his matches. He was one of our mainstays for a while in House of Glory. It's been a while since we've had him in, but in the ring, bell to bell, he's great. And I never had any issue with him or am aware of anything. I mean, he's a veteran who has had some great matches over the years, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work out to where he was able to kind of elevate to that next level. And in WWE, remember what they had him doing, for God's sakes. I mean, when he was Caval, and they put him with Michelle McCool and her partner, forgot her name. What was Michelle McCool's partner? It was Lay Cool. That's what they came up with for Low Key. No wonder it didn't work out. Layla, thank you. That's where the Lay in Lay Cool comes from. No Cap, thank you again. Gold Standard says that AEW crowd laughing my ass off. It was a small crowd. They've had a bunch of small crowds for the television shows recently. But they're, I think in some cases, not all cases, but in some cases they're booking smaller venues, which is what they should be doing if they can't fucking sell tickets to these shows. Be calm, see clearly. Thank you for the 5. They chanted "You deserve it" at Swerve. Did they chant that? Did they really chant "You deserve it" at Swerve? That's hilarious if they did. The man is on his knees watching his childhood home burn to the ground. And there are people in the crowd chanting, "You deserve it." You know what? Good, he does. He does deserve it. That's what you get for breaking into the man's house. That's funny, though. Be calm, see clearly. I work in the cleaning department at Goodwill and steal the cleaning items, so I'm not going to heaven. Stay blessed, Solo and friends. That's quite the admission there. It's like you've come to confession. Tell me about your sins, my child. Project Libertad. When is Kenny Omega going to drop the full shoot on Rossi? It's been 5 months since he implied that Rossi is some evil monster and never talked about it since. I think the reason he didn't talk about it since is because Rossi would probably sue him into oblivion. Even when he mentioned what he did, he was kind of tiptoeing around the tulips there without coming right out and saying what it felt like he wanted to say. Retro KOH with tonight's arson. Can you do a top 10 on wildest crimes committed on wrestling TV? I think the biggest crime ever committed on wrestling TV was 2018 and 2019 Monday Night Raw. We were all victims. Paul Carpenter, why was Mickey Mouse mad at Minnie Mouse? Because she was fucking goofy. Not bad. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's pretty, 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 pretty good. Isaac, do you remember the Steve-O versus Umaga match? Of course. Umaga got pissed at Steve-O for fucking laughing and no-selling and fucking kicked the shit out of him. And you know what? He got what he deserved. He got what he deserved. Hey, shout out to Angel. Angel. This became a Sound Off channel member. What's going on, Angel? I spied Angel on TNT last night. Welcome, brother. Justin G says, Elastrator equals castrates goats. Well, how the hell am I supposed to know that? You throw it out there without giving me any explanation of what it means. What do I know about castrating goats? I think Demeter Bullion might know about castrating goats. I don't know what he does. Demeter Bullion has a lot of different jobs. He wears a lot of different hats. And castrating goats could be one of them. He's a very interesting guy. He lives a very interesting life. Paul Carpenter, do you think that the WWE draft helped destroy the tag team division by changing the tag team titles around? No, I think splitting the titles of WrestleMania was a dumb decision because there's not enough depth on the individual shows to support individual titles. So until such time that the divisions can be boosted, you add a few more quality teams, you keep the titles unified. That was their biggest mistake. And I wish they would reunify them until such time that they have divisions on Raw and SmackDown that can support their own titles. Right now, I mean, we just had Kofi Kingston on Raw Monday night was talking to Adam Pearce and saying Finn Balor and JD McDonagh haven't defended their titles in 2 months. We're coming off the Young Bucks not defending their titles in 4 months. Like, what are we doing here? And in WWE, it's worse because we have two sets of tag team titles. It's stupid. David Thiering with the 10. Demeter Bully and Super Chats come with a disclaimer. You need multiple drinks before reading. Ask JD to translate when I see him at Hog. I don't even believe me, brother. He can't translate any better than I can. It's like trying to read Morse code. Tony Brown, Julia, Mariah, or Liv? Who is hotter? Well, I mean, they're all beautiful women, all three of them. But for me, it's between Mariah and Julia, and man, that's tough. That's a tough one. I'm going to go with Mariah. I'm a Mariah May guy, but Mariah and Julia? Oof. That's a tough one, man. Maybe I should pick Julia. She could probably kick my ass. Justin Hesse, why didn't the octopus have any friends? Because by nature, they're antisocial animals. See, now that's good information. That's actually learning something. It's learning something I did not know. Thank you, Justin. The true learning tree. Joseph Brooks, what is the worst WrestleMania of the past 10 years if you had to rank them? WrestleMania 29, 32, 34. 32. 32. Well, you know what, though? 29 was not great. 32 though was 32 was rough. Man, you know, at 29 though, we had that great Undertaker CM Punk match. I was there for all three of those actually. 35 was the last WrestleMania that I went to. And 29 had that great Undertaker CM Punk match. 32 trying to think of a great match of 32 that stands out to me, and I just can't think of what it would be. Project Libertad, which lasted longer, Odyssey Jones's main event time or Sony's Concord? Probably the Concord. Alex Brothers Solo, if politics or Hollywood is on the horizon for Cody, what role do you see him having in WWE post-retirement? I don't know. In WWE, I feel like Cody, well, he was an EVP in AEW, so, I mean, he could wear many different hats. I feel like Cody, honestly, I feel like Cody is somebody who could be in the Triple H position one day. So if something happens to Triple H, speaking of which, there he is. As soon as I mentioned the possibility of Cody replacing Triple H, we get the Triple H burying gif. He didn't waste any time, did he? He's just shoveling dirt on Cody. Oh, man. But no, I could see him in that role, honestly. Ed Swoggle, making it lights out guarantees it's the main event. Yeah, well, now that we know it's a lights out match, we know that's going to be the main event on Saturday. Joseph Brooks, whose title reign was better after their great WrestleMania wins? Daniel Bryan in 2014 or Kofi Kingston in 2019? Whose title reign was better after their great WrestleMania wins? I mean, it has to be Kofi. Brian didn't have the belt for very long. So, by default, it has to be Kofi Kingston. Boney, who's the biggest hater in wrestling this year? The biggest hater in wrestling? Jamie. Boney also says, looking at the tag team champions in AEW and WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor included, who are the best champions of the bunch? Axiom and Nathan Fraser have put together some bangers. They just won the belts back at No Mercy on Sunday. I'd have them pretty high up there on the list. BW Roses. What will be the main event for Hog in Chicago? Well, we got a HOG World Championship match coming up. Mike Santana defending against Dijak, making his Hog debut. So that's a safe bet. And Justin Hesse, what is red and extremely bad for your teeth? A flying brick. I agree. It's a very, very astute observation there from Justin. Thank you. Some very interesting messages. Interesting is a good word for it. Very interesting messages here tonight. We are currently at 517 likes. That smashed the goal. Give yourselves a round of applause. Let me see those Be the Booker emojis in the chat, because it is time to Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Give yourselves a round of applause as we take this for a spin. Oh, man, I still got a pack. All right, here we go. Tag team Be the Booker, we begin with The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin, who were tag team champions for a cup of coffee back in the summer of 98. I mean, that's a hard team to beat right there. Austin and The Undertaker are going to be taking on Billy and Chuck. Billy and Chuck. With their famous or infamous wedding. One of the best segments in SmackDown history. As far as swerves go, you got to say. That was a great... What is flying around in here? Probably a mosquito. That's all we have now. We have mosquitoes all over the place. Apparently, it's like peak mosquito time. They're eating me alive. All right. Women's Be the Booker. And then we'll try to kill this little bloodsucker who's flying around here. All right. We got Mia Yim. Or, I'm sorry, Meechin. We begin with Meechin, who just fell to Nia Jax on SmackDown last week in their women's championship match. Meechin going to go one-on-one with Jade Cargill. What do we think about this? Meechin and Jade Cargill. I'm in a good mood. Feeling very generous tonight. I would love to have a clean sweep. Can we do it? Can we do it? Oh, boy. This is not a great sign. Al Snow, what does everybody want? What does everybody want? Got to answer the question. All right, Al Snow. Al Snow in the main event. Those are some words that should never go together. This thing is pissing me off. Al Snow. Oh, boy. Al Snow against Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, as soon as I landed on Stone Cold, how could I vote against Stone Cold in the main event? Stone Cold is the main event. Look at this. He's right there. He's on my speaker. If I smash my speaker, that's not going to be good. What am I supposed to do? How do I get this thing here? Let me see. Hold on a second. I'm going to try this right now. No, he got away. He got away. Unable to defend myself here. This is unfair. All right. Anyway, you guys got the clean sweep. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I'm being generous. I know. But I also have to get out of here because I have an early wake up. I'm heading to the airport. I'll be flying out to Chicago. And I don't have a lot of time here. But thank you for staying up with me here. Thank you for hanging out with me. If you're not normally here on a Wednesday night, I hope you enjoyed the review. Do me a favor, leave a like on your way out if you have not already done so. And leave comments in the comments section. Any kind of engagement will help get the video out there to more people. So I appreciate that. If you're going to be in Chicago and you don't already have a ticket, we have general admission only left, but check out the Hog Show, Logan Square Auditorium, 8 p.m. local time tomorrow. Our debut show in the Chicago market. I will be there along with JD. We'll be doing commentary somewhere. Hopefully we end up on the Triller schedule, but right now we're not, but hopefully we will. And right now I should be back in time to do SmackDown on Friday night. So that is the plan. Be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night. We got a big weekend coming up with All Out, and I will see you back here for all of it, here on the Solomonster Sounds Off channel. I will see you guys back here real soon. Take care.